bebop, mama. Bebop, mama.
Welcome to Between Bites on the Pelicans Podcast Network. I'm Larry Miller.
I'm Nina Compton.
Who do we have today, Nina?
We have some very, very, very important women with us today. We have T. Martin and Meg Beckford from Commander's Palace. Welcome, ladies. Welcome.
So good to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Of course.
So, tell me what it's like a day in the life of going into that kitchen, into that restaurant. What is it like?
I avoid it, so let her answer.
Not close to being true. I don't know. To me, it kind of depends on, like, what time of day. But, you know, like, early in the morning when you pull up in the neighborhood and you can, like, smell the bread pudding, like, wafting through the air, you know?
Yes.
So it kind of starts before you walk in the door. But I feel incredibly privileged. I mean, I've worked there for about 14 years, and I still get butterflies in my stomach before I walk in. It's just that excitement, and the adrenaline starts pumping, you know? I mean, it's a big, busy kitchen, and it's fun to walk in that door, and it's like bees in a beehive when you do, you know?
Yes,
yes. Well, let's talk about that. The chefs before you, first of all male.
Who?
I'm just saying, when did it hit you in your career, like, I can do this?
Who?
Last week?
Yeah. No, I mean, really. I think being the chef of Commanders has always been a dream job. I mean, since I started there and immediately fell in love with it and knew that I would spend a lot of my career there as long as they would have me. But the actual realization that it could really happen, I think it came a few days after I was asked to do the job. and I mean that very seriously, that it had to set in that it's like, oh man, okay. More than, somebody other than myself thinks this is possible, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
When Lally and I asked her, she was definitely a little deer in the headlights for a minute there, which was fun.
Anybody would be.
Right, well, I mean, if you look at it now, you have women in very powerful roles in that restaurant, and you came up with that, so tell me about the very first moment when you said, I want to be in this industry, and I want to run
this.
Oh,
good Lord. I was probably really young.
Yeah.
You know, I thought my mom was really cool.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
So I wanted her job, and I remember the day I finally got her job, and I went, holy. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I loved it. There was so many magical things and crazy things and fun things, and it's never boring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Commanders, I really kind of hate it when people talk about how old it is, which is 130 next year.
Wow.
Because we're about change.
Yeah.
You know, and we are about what's next? And I don't care if it's food, which it needs to be and has to be and always is, but, you know, service systems and hospitality or any different way to do anything. I was talking to my friend Susan Spicer today about, you know, this system versus that system. Anyway, so we're always pushing with that. So I was born into it, but went off to do other things and knew it's what I wanted to do. But I have to say this to you, you could be Meg working in that kitchen and Zion could walk in because it was the first meal he had in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So my buddies called me from the Pelicans and they said, hey, we got this, you know, person we're going to send over for a meal. And they said, Zion, where's when I said, who? Because, well, I mean, we didn't know.
Right.
I had vaguely heard,
some
but
of
come
us
on.
Knew.
I don't think you knew then. You are full of bull. Anyway, and I said, when and what? Anyway, then he came, and he was this giant child, right? I mean, with his darling smile.
Aww.
And then, you know, all the press calls, what did he eat, whatever. Anyway, so it was really.
How big was his hand?
Giant, you know?
The ball looks like a.
His poor little brother was with him and came up to about his belly butt.
Right.
You know, but he was dear, and the parents were dear, and so that we could, he could be just standing there, and that happened.
Yeah.
You know, because we sort of snuck him in the back.
Pretty cool.
Some of you people knew who he was.
Right.
I do. But it's just constant like that, you know? It really is a blast.
Well, it's cool. And that changing and evolving and seeing what's going on, that's the reason you've been there for.
It's true. So,
and it's. I understand what you're saying about the length of time, but it's awesome, and it's a testament to you and everybody who's worked with you.
You all probably feel this way. You're going to take every award they're handing out. But it's not about that.
And no, it's not.
It's about, we're about the last meal we served.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, was it great? What can we do better? And so when you operate from that mindset, it's just, it's different, you know.
I agree.
But again, we'll take those awards.
Yeah.
The 25-cent martinis.
Oh, God, what a monster.
Now, that is a monster. That's a legend. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
So our family did this at Brennan's back in the 40s, 50s, whatever, and they did 25-cent martinis. So when Lally and I took over...
And they were 25 cents then.
They were.
Wow.
Which I've been... inflation is a problem.
Right, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is it now 75?
It should be. It needs to be a whole lot more than that. But, so Lally and I kind of took over day-to-day, really, as far back as 97, whether people realize that or not. But and our Aunt Dottie, who lives next door with my mom, or she lives there now, kept bugging the hell out of us, saying, do the 25-cent martinis again. And we were like, Aunt Dottie, people don't drink like that anymore, and that's just not going to be a thing. I know that was a big deal for y'all then. But she bugged us so much, we finally just caved and said, let's just try it for a little while and see what happens. Well, oh, my God. But I'm going to tell y'all, and, I know nobody's going to hear this, so it's just us, right? But this is a secret, and I say it all the time, and I don't understand why other restaurants don't catch on. But if the four of us went to lunch... And I wasn't going to drink at lunch, but you, Nina, order one of the stupid 25-cent. I say stupid because they're colorful, and I don't drink blue things. Anyway,
right.
As much as I love blue, I don't drink blue things. But once you order that, well, I'm not going to sit here and look at you drink, so now I order a glass of wine. Now the house just won.
Right.
So when we first did this, the waiter was like, this is terrible. It's going to ruin our check average. Our check average went up.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
The check average went up, and the number of people coming went up.
Right.
So... It seems nuts.
Do
but
you
want to
know why no other restaurants do it?
Please do tell.
Because it's yours. Because you own it. That everybody knows. And it would be like if you'd invented a Caesar salad and we're like, wow, that's the only place with a Caesar salad. We're not going to make a Caesar salad. Right. It's yours. And it's
out of respect.
Yeah.
Oh, well, tell my cousins that.
All right. Oh, right. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
The American Cuisine and Hospitality Symposium.
Aww.
That you hosted, three years ago?
Well,
4 years ago?
Five.
Five.
It was 125th, so four.
It was,
okay.
Yes.
18.
What an event. Tell everybody a little bit about that.
My Lord. So we were celebrating 125. I mean, 130 to me is like, whatever. I don't know what we're going to do, nothing too much. But 125 was sort of something. And that was what was supposed to be the 100th anniversary of Khmer's. My mother had put on something called the American Cuisine Symposium.
Mm-hmm.
And there had been one other prior elsewhere, but... You know, we didn't have Beard Awards. We didn't have any of that stuff. But they loved getting together for a couple of awards that were out there, as from Hospitality Magazine, Ivy Award, you know, a few things like that. And so when they did this event, it was a big deal, but they wanted to talk about food and what was happening. And anyway, it was a big deal. Everybody you can think of was there.
Right.
When I went back, we closed the restaurant. Anyway, so we wanted to sort of recreate that and add to it. But because hospitality is sort of a big important thing to us, we only changed the name to American Cuisine and Hospitality Symposium, and we just invited everybody that we admired and said, let's do, you know, these panels during the day, and then we'll have this dinner at night, and let's get the cemetery to let us have a cocktail party, and we'll hang chandeliers. That was a little crazy, but we did it. But I'll be honest, the first two people I called were Will Goddard and Danny Meyer, and they both said yes. I said, all right, I'm on to something.
Yeah.
We've got it.
Everybody was there.
But you all know people like an excuse to come to New Orleans and be with their friends in the industry. So really the only people that didn't make it that I asked were friends, or Danielle Ballou, because his daughter was getting married, fair enough.
Yeah.
And it was just extraordinary. Yeah. And a bunch of crazy stuff happened.
It was great.
Barbara's a little crazy. Yeah. Friends are a little crazy in a good way. And everybody wants to know if we're doing it again. No, because, I mean, it was a year and a half of planning.
It's a lot. It's a lot of when people do these special events. It's like a wedding.
It's true.
You want every detail to be perfect, and it is a lot of stress.
Yeah. The one detail I'll share is that when Mom did it, we picked up every single person who was coming from out of town in a limousine and had a police escort.
Oh, wow.
And they still talk about it. So I said, well, I'm going to do that again. And everybody told me we couldn't. There was 5,000 reasons we couldn't, because the Jefferson Parish police won't cooperate with them. I'm like, what? And then it's too much. Anyway, and we did it. Well, damned if it's not the thing they still talk about.
They still talk about it.
So a police escort is fun.
Yeah, of course. You feel like the president.
Yeah. Will Goddard, he was at the y'all ever go to a welcome conference?
Yeah.
So the year after that, I was in the audience, and he said, I went to this thing in New Orleans, and he, you know, said some nice things about my family. He goes, I knew the Brennans were very involved in New Orleans. He goes, I did not know that they controlled the police.
There you go.
Delete.
Yeah, we're not taking that responsibility.
Meg, you have a young child at home.
I do.
I have personal experience of seeing a chef when they are at home. What's it like for you with the demands on you professionally and raising the little?
Well, a dear friend of mine that gave me a lot of really, really good advice, two different things, two different great people. One said to remove the word balance from my vocabulary because I would set unrealistic expectations for myself and my family and my career. The day that I heard that changed my life because there is no work-life balance.
Right.
It's not even.
It's just life.
Exactly. And there's plenty of days that I spend all of my time at the restaurant, and there's days that I try to ignore my phone as much as possible, and I try and spend as much time with my family as possible. And Ella told T a long time ago, and T shared with me that quality time is way more important than quantity of time.
Yeah.
And so that's how I live my life.
Yes.
Not in balance, and I seek quality time.
That's such great advice, because all you hear now is work-life balance, find the balance.
Yeah.
And I think that we focus so much on keeping that balance, whereas like you have to be realistic sometimes.
Yeah, and it's that isn't realistic at all.
But as a child, couldn't you also just send them to school and not worry about them until they're like 16, 17?
You would
old
think
enough
so.
Like, to get charged as an adult?
5 years ago, I thought that was a thing. And then I realized very quickly that that's not at all how
that's
that works.
That's a healthy way to look at it.
Yeah, and my husband works from home, and so they spend a lot of time together. So there is a lot of family time. It's just, you know, you got to figure it out. And
sure.
If that family time is at 7 a.m. or if it's at midnight, then that's when it is.
Right.
And if it works for our unit, it works for our unit.
What do you cook at home for her? Turtle soup?
Oh, well, you know, when she was itty bitty, she would eat anything in the world that I would give to her. And I'm embarrassed to admit, she's a chicken nugget kid.
That's normal.
I will say, when she comes to Commander's, I mean, she orders for herself, and she says, I want a bubblegum cocktail, and I want Pam Perdue.
Oh, nice.
And everybody
good
in the kitchen
choice.
Stops. Chef, that's you got to make Pam Perdue. And yeah.
So. Cutest thing ever. One day, somebody was asking Meg about this. She says, well, I feel guilty, but is it bad if I'm the only mom who's hoping that my child's up at 9 o'clock when I get home so we can have a dance party?
Oh, sweet. That is sweet. What did it feel like the first time you put a dish on the menu?
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
What was the dish?
I wish I could remember.
Remember, she was chef
like
around the corner here.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, that's one, I got to say, one of my all-time favorite things about Commander's is the collaborativeness of the environment as a whole. Not just food, but everything. You know, big decisions are made as a group. And it was something that was very important to Chef Tori, that he instilled in all of us, that this is our kitchen, and this is our menu, and this is, you know. So to say that happened a long time ago, I mean, we're talking probably 2013.
Wow.
2012. It's a long time ago.
It's a long time, yeah.
And now I'm really disappointed. I don't remember. that's the great environment that we work in, is that, you know, you've got to, A, buy into what we're doing. You've got to invest in what we're doing.
Right.
And so to have freedom as a group to make decisions and be creative together is pretty powerful.
Can I tell you one lately that I love that she does? It's called Crab Gin Fizz.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tell us more. I love crab and I love gin. So
me too, and that's where I was. But it's something I played with over there, and it never was what I wanted it to be, and I couldn't figure it out. But, like, you know, drinking a Ramos Gin Fizz and, like, the subtlety and sweetness of crab meat, and they just felt like they would just go so well together. And so, like, you know, vinaigrettes and whatever, and just, you know, trying to do different things and put these two things together. And then one day I was at Commander's and I had a chef's table coming in, and I just loaded a bunch of seasoned nice lemon zest and white pepper and loaded a bunch of crab meat into a shot glass and shook up a gin fizz and poured it on top. And then put a huge dollop of caviar on top, and I was like, here, try this. And they were like, boom! And
it happened.
But it was. I mean, it's incredibly simple, but god damn, it's good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
And it's fun to eat.
Yeah,
that sounds. We gotta come by just for that.
Yeah, tell us you're coming. It's not always on the menu, but we can do it.
T, not only are you genius,
oh good lord,
businesswoman, a host extraordinaire when people come to the restaurant, there's something that I want to talk about that blows my mind. You were the finance chair of the aviation board.
Go figure.
That helped get the new airport built. How? Restaurant's hard enough.
Yeah.
And we'll freak out because the napkin comes in frayed or something else. Now we're talking super big picture, something that has affected the city in a great way.
Mm-hmm.
How do you start with that to say, let's build a new airport?
You know, the airport was so bad. You know, we had done this study about the city after Katrina, and we had two dissatisfiers, crime and the airport.
Mm.
And somehow, actually, it was Steve Perry who called me and said, we need you to be on the aviation board. I said, I don't even like to fly. I mean, you know, I don't want to. Anyway, they talked me into it. And the great story is that as new members came onto the board, because there were so many problems at the airport, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not even going to go there. But we were sitting there one day with this extraordinary new director without whom this airport would not have happened. There's a lot of people without whom it wouldn't happen, but his name was Iftikhar Ahmad. Dear friend of mine, and when he came in, I said, I'm either going to be the best friend you ever had or your worst enemy. And we became extremely close. And one day he called a meeting. I remember it was Nolan Rollins, who was head of the, anyway, and Doug Thornton and myself and Iftikhar, the four of us, sitting in a room looking out. They have sometimes great windows, and you see all the airplanes at their offices. So pretty nice. And they were talking about, well, we need to do a new airport. And I'm like, and they're going, oh, every time we've ever tried, it's a disaster. We fight with Baton Rouge. We fight with everybody. We can't do anything. And I just said, I never understood why we didn't just build the one across the runway. They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, we had a proposal that build this airport across the runway. But they were all new, so they didn't know. And they said, how much? They said, well, why didn't we do that? First, they said, do we own all that land? I said, we own almost all that land. And they're all looking out the window. And then, this is just true. And then they called and they said, how much was it? I said, well, they said it was going to be like $6 billion. We didn't have $6
billion. Right.
You know, like, so that was the end of that. Never heard anything about it. 2 weeks later, Iftikhar calls me and goes, you have to come to my office today. And I went, okay. And he had taped up on a thing on the wall where the airport was. He had taped Hobby Airport on to, you know, across the runway because mm-hmm. he had figured out that we did online. Anyway, long story short, I said, because I was finance chair, I said, how much? And he told me the number, and we had almost that much.
Oh,
I said,
wow.
Where are we getting the rest? And he said, this much from the federal government and this much. And I said, how long? And then he had been talking to Mitch Landrieu, but that's part of how a very long process. But
wow.
I remember that day just going, why don't we just do it right there?
Right,
because
look at that.
The most expensive part of building a new airport is, get this, the runways. So we didn't actually build a new airport, we built a new terminal.
Correct.
Mm.
Because we were smart enough to keep the runways. You never heard that story, did you?
No.
It's an amazing story.
Well, cheers
See,
to
I knew
you, because that is...
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's absolutely stunning.
To Mitch's credit, he said, you have to get a world-class architect. And he got this extraordinary man named Cesar Pelli, who I got to have dinner with several times. And he was just much older at the time. And I said, Mr. Pelli, please tell me, what's your inspiration? I mean, what are you going to do? I'm so excited. He goes, oh, Dee, it's just charming older man. And I, and he goes, my problem here is it's just too much inspiration in New Orleans. He was like 88. I was in love.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we found
great.
The right guy.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
That's awesome. T.
Mm-hmm.
Through the 125, almost 130 years that you've been at Commander's Palace, the dishes that you miss.
Veal fête.
Yeah?
You ever even heard of that one?
Yeah.
From the family, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, we had an item on the menu, which is panned veal and fettuccine. But to us, it's like comfort food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to put it on the menu. But
no.
But I miss it.
Yeah.
I do miss it. I don't miss a lot of the old dishes, you know? We all have a friend who did a restaurant. And he tried to do old New Orleans food. And I'm like, there's a reason we don't cook like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
right.
So I don't, a lot of those old dishes I don't think are as good as the new ones. So that might be one of the only ones that I miss. I can think of a lot of them, but I don't miss them.
I'll make you veal fed.
You made me veal fed?
Yeah.
You know, Aunt Dottie and Lally would love veal fed. Thank you.
But then now that's a lot of pressure because you have to create something
that
in
I've
their
never
memory.
Actually,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the old cookbook.
We have those conversations a lot.
Yeah.
You remember this? It's like, oh, that was way before. I remember.
It was 100 years ago.
Yeah.
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 Meg, how often do you pinch yourself or do you have any reflection? Because you grew up with Creole food. mm-hmm. correct?
Mm-hmm.
Creole and Cajun.
Yes.
But now you are in the bastion, the capital, the world capital, for building of new and evolving and through history, the place for Creole, Nouveau Creole. Is that okay? Do you not like Nouveau? I was just saying Nouveau because.
Oh, I don't care.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much does that? Let's see, I'll back up a little bit. Nina makes dishes that have flavors of home, but techniques mm-hmm. that she's learned along her culinary career.
Sure.
Are you ever coming up with a dish and you're like, oh my God, this is what I ate when I was 4 years old, but I'm much better cooked than my mother was, but you still have that emotional attachment to
it? Absolutely. All the time.
Yeah.
It's kind of a goal, actually. Yeah. Because it is. It's, you know, how to... It can be tricky, you know, like my grandmother used to make this, we called it lima bean fricassee, and it was like stewed meat and lima beans in a dark room.
I love lima beans.
It's incredibly simple. So there are things like that, that it's, you know, just the memory of that. My mom still makes it, but it's not my grandmother's,
right.
You know what I mean? It's, but last fall we did an andouille fricassee with Louisiana field peas mm-hmm. and baby lima beans.
Oh, that was the inspiration?
With an antelope chop, and it was awesome. It was like exactly what I wanted it to be because it was the closest to my grandmother's I've gotten, and it wasn't hers at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it was a memory.
But exactly, it was the smell in the pot and tasting it and like that mouthfeel of the roux and like just, it was perfect. And it so that's a goal, you know, that how do we make this food that we're excited about, how do we move forward,
mm-hmm.
but still get that, the reason that our food is so great
are
those feelings, those smells, those memories, you know? You can't leave that behind, it's gonna come with us.
That's the key part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as a woman leader for both of you, what are the challenges or what advice would you give to somebody entering the industry?
What do you say?
I asked you first. No. Because that's a question I get asked a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and you have, now that you see a lot more women in the industry,
mm-hmm.
which is very...
In leadership positions.
In leadership and ownership positions, it's very energizing. And, you know, you want to pass, you know, open the path, even the door even wider.
Mm-hmm.
How do we, you know, inspire these women to be like, hey, I want to be just like Tia, or I just want to be just like Chef Meg? How do we keep that going?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing that I like to say to all young people interested is learn the business.
Mm-hmm.
Learn the numbers. Don't be scared of numbers. Because if it doesn't work on paper, it ain't going to work when you
go open
a damn restaurant.
That's
you know?
Right.
So don't be afraid of that. Embrace that. And the guy that we work with, Steve Woodruff, says, once you get into the numbers, they start talking to you. You know?
Yeah.
And it's good. You know. So I like to push them because too many of them make that mistake,
mm-hmm.
you know, to do that. But I don't see any reason why they can't do it. You know what
right.
I mean? I mean, my mom was... a single mom, you know, she was able to have, you know, lots of good people helping her, and I was thrown in with my cousins a lot, you know, but you know, you go for it and you just figure it out as you go.
Yes.
But I think I hate that they feel like they can't, you know, and that's a lot about what Noki's about and
right.
everything that we all push for is,
yeah.
you know, you can. I mean,
right.
she was given great encouragement at Nichols with the John Folt School, and they encouraged her to do this thing in Europe. I mean, it's
yes.
all, you know, so just push yourself, go for it, you know?
Yeah, don't be afraid. And also don't do anything, like, not everything is by yourself or just you or the,
right.
you know what I mean? Like, everything we do is, we're surrounded by people. Like, how
yeah.
many people work here? It's
right.
like, everything is such a group effort. And it's, I don't know, I think people get, like you said, they get scared of the numbers or they get scared, and it's like, okay, well, let's open the conversation, right?
Yes.
Talk to each other.
We actually talked about this on the way here. I'm like, you know a lot of stuff I don't know, and I know a lot of stuff you don't know.
Right.
right.
And if it's in this arena, ask me, you
That's
know?
That's true.
And yeah.
It's true because I think a lot of people, when they think about opening a restaurant or, you know, being an executive chef, they don't think they're fully equipped with all the information, and they don't even know how to ask.
Yeah.
What do I need to know to run this restaurant? And sometimes it's not just a plate, you know, the plate of food. It's what happens before that food is actually on the plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things that you have to factor in. So it's sometimes it's not even about the food before you even open a restaurant.
Can I say this to you too?
Yes.
I think some of the most successful restaurants, particularly if you get anywhere close to fine dining or like sure. I consider this, come from partnerships mm-hmm. of one sort or another. You two are an amazing partnership. And
he's my therapist.
There, there's that and all the things that you bring together.
And
Commanders is extremely collaborative as well as family partnership.
Sure.
And Lally and I are, you know, we just have, in fact, people now call us Tally. We're like one person.
That's funny. That's good.
So if you can find that partner that you absolutely have to trust, and
yes.
if you have that
yeah.
trust, you're gonna have a much better chance with a great partner. Now, bad partnerships are worse.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, if you think about some of the greatest restaurants in America, are partnerships.
Partnerships, yeah. yes. Well, you have to have trust is number one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not just trust when you succeed, it's also trust when you fail.
Right.
You know,
I
and
think the trust when you fail is way more important.
It is.
Right.
Trust. And respect
right.
is also a big part
yeah.
of it too. You have
trust
to respect.
And respect.
Yeah.
That's like the thing of our company.
Yeah.
Trust
yeah.
and respect.
If you don't have that, then there's
yeah.
no point of even going into
right.
it.
When was the last time you and Lally had a disagreement?
We disagree sometimes, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And we're okay with it. We're good partners because we don't think alike.
Right.
Right.
Like at all. I mean, you know, there's certain basic things we totally agree on. But we disagree
yeah.
a lot,
they
and I depend on her, and she does not want to do a lot of certain things, and I
yes.
do not want to do this other stuff, and so we divide and conquer, but we're okay with disagreeing because we love each other. You know, my mother used to say, and this is just true in business and in relationships, if you know the other person has good intention,
yeah.
then it's not going to hurt your feelings. Then
right.
maybe they got a little rah-rah for a minute. But it doesn't really hurt your feelings if you know their intentions were good. So Lally and I have we know. You know, she'll what does she say to me sometimes? I don't know. She tries to calm me down sometimes. And she has some good little phrases that just make me laugh, and then I'm good, you know. So that's key, you know.
That's great.
I'm going to see if you can finish this sentence.
We may
hold the keys to the restaurant.
But Commander's Palace belongs to New Orleans.
That's pretty cool,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah.
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 That's one of my favorite things. You have a bunch of things that you've said through the years that are awesome. But that's really pretty special. Do you think, before you came back into the family fold
mm-hmm.
and were working in, I don't even know where else you were working.
I was in Texas,
okay.
mostly, in real estate.
But could you have, do you ever think what might have happened if you stayed over there?
That's funny. Somebody asked me about that the other day. No, I just liked the way it happened. You know what I mean? Because I wanted to go, I didn't think I was coming into the business.
Mm.
I had been discouraged from that my entire life. I was a very grown woman when my mother admitted that she always hoped I would.
Yeah.
But she did not act that way. She pushed and like, you know, so she sent me off and I got an MBA and then I went and worked in Texas. And then she, my aunt called me up and said, your mom's going to have heart surgery tomorrow. And I went, what? Mm. And I was driving home from Texas and I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I want to go home and work with my best friend and my mentor. And of course, she lived another 35 years. So that was great, you know, but that's what happened.
That's a neat story.
Yeah. I don't know that it would have been as much fun.
Right.
You
Life
know?
In general?
Yeah.
Oh, come
I
on,
mean, I think I could have made business deals and,
sure.
right.
and I like doing that,
right.
you know, I like putting things together. But I don't think it would have been as much fun.
Not that.
Challenging is fun.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes,
when you,
yes,
yeah.
yes.
You know?
So, talking about family, what is your favorite family holiday that everybody...
Well, we do Christmas Eve night.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of us work, you know, and then we go over to my cousin Lauren's house, and everybody's there.
Oh.
And now there's little... My family are breeders.
Yeah.
And... I don't know who all of them are. You know what I mean? I'm like, who was that little blonde?
Bad.
You know. Anyway, and that is so much fun. And then we always have Santa, and my cousin Dickie is an amazing Santa.
That's great. I love that.
Can you imagine the stuff he's saying to those little bitty kids? Anyway, I mean, it's just awesome. You know.
What's the spread like?
You know, Lauren's family. I think a lot of it's from Palace Cafe.
Okay.
But I mean, they do their own stuff every year. But my family eats very certain things like every family. So we have to have shrimp and melitón stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing in the whole world is the
oyster
dressing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one year, you know.
Oh no.
Emerald got that wrong.
Oh.
You know, he wasn't from here. You know what I mean? And I saying? Like,
you don't know, every sous chef has heard that story.
Yeah. Sure.
Don't screw up the oyster.
The oyster or the corned beef on St. Patrick's Day.
Or
anyway,
the corned beef on St. Patrick's Day.
So anyway.
If you like your job, don't screw it up.
Right. Yeah. Those are two things you really need. Really.
No, we love the holidays. We work. And because we're a partnership, we split it up.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm going to say this to you, and you already know it, and you're learning it. Mom also said, make the business part of your lifestyle. If you fight it, you don't have a prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? Right. So if
that's the whole balance.
Right.
Thing. You know, it's like, no, this is just the life we live.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And take advantage of those things that you can. I know y'all are learning that. But as you think about it that way, it just helps you let it go a bit.
Yeah, and just adjust to it and just embrace it.
Right. I have a question for you.
Sure.
How's the scooter?
It's good. Well, this is number
four.
What did you do?
I've only lived here for 8 years.
Well, I've had a couple of, bumps. Bumps and bruises here and there.
Uh-huh.
But the last one got stolen, so.
Aww.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Aww. I know. But
it's so damn cute.
State
Farm got her a new one.
Yeah.
But.
The colors.
Go ahead. We're running out of colors.
Yeah, so the first one was black, then it was white, then it was yellow, and now it's red. So if you see me around town, it's all red.
But we also got her four wheels to drive around.
Yeah, Larry gets scared.
If anybody bumps into her, it's not as hard stop.
Don't push your luck too much.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love it.
So proud to help. Proud to Call It Home campaign.
Golly.
That you invented.
He did his research.
Research.
It's fascinating. And we could talk for way more than the time we have with all of the things that you've done for the city and
for
our industry. Proud to Call It Home.
So it was a million years ago, and things in New Orleans were not good. And I was on this thing called the Young Leadership Council.
And this was in late 90s?
Yeah, early.
Early 90s?
Early to mid.
Okay.
Because I was working in Palace Cafe, which was started with Dickie and Lauren and Brad in 1991. So summertime in there, because all the meetings were there and we had drinks. So that was helpful to get attendance. Anyway, so we just said we've got to do something because we're trying to do development. And literally we had a story of a man on a plane with a company was considering moving here. And the local man said, don't move here. It's terrible. Everything's horrible. We're like, okay, we got to stop that. You know, I mean, we need to fix the underlying problems, which was happening.
Sure.
So, but we've got to at least have some positive talk. So it was my dear friend, now Karen Kearney, and I, as well as another friend, Trudy, and then I don't know if you know Tara Carter. So she was one of my co-chairs, and we are all fast friends because we did crazy stuff. We ended up having a budget higher than the Young Leadership Council. So we raised like $1 million. We went in, he's dead so I can say this, we went in to raise money from Jim Bob Moffat, who was a big deal in the oil and gas industry, and we're like, who's gonna do it? And they're like, T. I'm like, no, Karen with the blonde hair and the short skirt. I'm like, get in there. Anyway, and she asked for $50,000 and gave us $100,000. I'm like, yes, I was right. Anyway, one of the dumbest things we did was the first bumper sticker that we did, New Orleans Proud to Call It Home, it didn't say New Orleans, it just said Proud to Call It Home. So then you went to Destin, you're like, Destin Proud to Call It Home? It's just a really stupid mistake. And then people started doing their own takeoffs.
Oh, wow.
And I called Karen, like, oh, my God. They're doing it in every language. And she said, no, shut up, stupid. It's good. It's taken on a life of its own. I'm like, oh, my God, you're right. My favorite day is I'm behind a car, and it says, New Orleans, oy, such a home. And I'm like, yes, I won.
That's good.
So, just a lot of fun
That's
stories.
That's good. That's
and
really
and it
good.
Just has lived on, you know.
I've seen the Proud to Crawl Home.
That's maybe not so good, but anyway, One day we said we held up signs and we went on Poydras. Like, I don't know what we were thinking. And we all held signs, honk if you're proud to call it home. The whole freaking city was honking. The police came and like, you have to stop. You know what I mean? You have to stop. We're like, oh, we didn't realize, sorry.
I'd move there, but everybody's honking.
Yeah.
Right. Sounds like New York.
It was nuts. All the people in the building were calling the cops. We're like, we're sorry,
that's
sorry,
funny.
Meg, your time at John Foltz Culinary Institute at Nicholls State. Talk to us about that. How old were you when you started? Right out of high school?
I was 16, 17 years old.
But that's 17. Making a commitment. You're now going to Nicholls. And
but it was college too?
Mm-hmm.
Just culinary.
Yeah, Bachelor of Science,
yes.
Which was That was the deal. So mm-hmm. I went to my dad when I was in high school, and I said, I want to go to culinary school. And he was like, that's cute. And so he and I went back and forth for over a year, much like Ella. Just, you know, he understood a lot more of what this life can be than maybe I did. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he'd dabbled, and he had helped friends open restaurants, and he had owned and run bars and things like that early in his life. And he didn't want that for his little girl. And so we went back and forth. And finally he said, fine, here you go. Because the biggest mistake my dad ever made was telling my brother and I that we could be whatever we wanted to be. because we believed him.
Right.
And, you know, my brother's an actor and I'm a chef. So it's like, thanks, Dad. You know, yeah. But so he finally said, okay, fine, this is what you want to do, go do it. But you're going to have an education, and you're not going to go get a degree. You're going to have a, you know, this is my bar. You have to at least meet me at my bar. So, Nichols State offered that. I mean, at John Fulce, you could get a Bachelor of Science, not even of Arts, in Culinary Arts.
Yes.
And so he was like, okay, that I'll allow. He was helping with the school, so he got to make a lot of those decisions.
Yeah.
So I went, and I mean, the most charming little school in South Louisiana, which my godparents lived down the street from the university my whole life, so I knew it well, and I had family right there, and it was an incredible experience. I'm going to say this, and we'll just pretend like he's not going to hear it, because it could get me in, well, can't get me in any trouble. It could get him in trouble. But Randy Sheremy was one of my chef instructors. He still is there. But he went to high school with my mom, you know, like they knew each other almost their whole life. So when I went to school, he immediately grabbed me, you know. And my sophomore year, he pulled me out of class one day, and he was like, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm sure you could write a list. You know, what are we talking about today? And he's like, really, what's wrong with you? He's like, you have an opportunity to go to this school in France, Institut Paul Bocuse, and you didn't apply for the scholarship. And I hemmed and hawed. I couldn't get it. I'm not going to get it. And he goes, well, you're going, and I'm going to get in trouble if you don't write an essay.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was like, my name was on the list. And I lost my mind, and I called my mom, and I was like, should I do this? And she's like, why are we even talking about
this?
Yeah, like,
right,
it sounds to me like you're going. And so I did. So school sent me. And I mean, room and board, tuition.
6 months.
All of
that. Wow.
Got to study abroad, and I came back and finished my last year there. And then little did I know, one of my instructors was getting his master's at UNO and was interviewing T for a paper that he was writing.
Yeah.
And he brought my resume with him and just handed it to her, and she
Look
handed
at that.
It to
Look
somebody
at
in the kitchen, and yeah, and I got a phone call one day, and they were like, hey, why don't you come do a stage? And it was, that's it.
Wow.
That's
so wait, tell Nina the dish that you and I obsess over about France.
Oh, God.
Fish soup.
Oh, fish soup.
Oh,
I
love fish soup.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and
it's not not very common.
Well, you can't call it that, I don't think.
No.
In America.
No.
But we'll
no.
know that that's what it is.
Yeah. It's so good.
Right?
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good.
I mean, to me, a roux-y, you could put it on anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But fish soup.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah.
Especially like nice, cool weather.
Right?
Yes.
We get excited.
Yeah.
Talking about this stuff, you know?
Yeah. So it was an incredible experience. I'm still very close with a lot of the instructors, same instructors that were there when I was there,
yeah.
know, which says a lot about the school.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's a great,
that's incredible.
It's a great property, and it's...
Well, now it's grown into this. You know, when I went there, we shared the science building. We had this tiny little kitchen. I mean, I learned how to fix kitchen equipment. You know, like,
that's,
I mean, that's...
Actually, that should be... The first
part
year
of the job,
yeah. Should
yes.
be, yeah.
But I mean, it's true. It's like, you know, pilots are out, or you know, things like that. It's like I know that like the back of my hand.
Yes.
Yeah. All the
How
new
do
equipment.
I fix, yeah.
I don't get that. Yeah. There's too many computers now. But
yes.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience.
Go Colonels.
Yeah.
Go Colonels. Well, T. Meg, Chef Meg, thank y'all very much for being here. It means a lot that we got to chat with you and find out a little bit more about you. And we'll see you around town.
We're honored to be here, but being with you two, always. Extraordinary.
Always a pleasure.
But we heard that Pelican's tickets came with the gig. So,
That's
really
what we're going to talk to. Let me call VI. That would be nice.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Oh,
thank you.
No, it's always wonderful.
Always. Make way for the Reaper. Yeah. way for the rebirth.
Yeah, Bill!
Make way for the rebirth. Make way for the rebirth.
Back up, everybody back up. It was so rough.